What a powerful hymn this morning. As to hear you sing that out from your hearts. The scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. Got your Bible there in front of you, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 5. I'm going to ask you to stand out of respect for God's word. As I read this, if you're able to stand, hear what God has to say to us. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. But when he, the Spirit of the truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and what he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take care of mine, and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I say that he takes of mine, and we'll disclose it to you. Let us pray. Lord, today, we just pray that you will take and open our hearts. Fertile that soil that we're ready to receive your word. Lord, that we walk out of here changed people. Opening our minds to understand and our ears to hear your Spirit speak. Descend upon us. Guard us from all outside interference. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Title my message, Faith or Knowledge. What is it that you have about Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ, or do you have knowledge about him? One morning, in an elementary school, there was all the teachers were summoned to the teacher's lounge for an emergency teacher's meeting. That meant leaving the classrooms totally unsupervised. Mrs. Miles, she had the most unruly class in the entire elementary school. She worried, what was she going to do while she was gone? She then decided to turn on the intercom to find out if her suspicions of rowdiness was going to come true. She made it to the teacher's lounge, and she turned on picked up the intercom and was listening to the noise that was going on in her room. But there was one voice that stuck out for Mrs. Miles above all of the other voices. And Mrs. Miles recognized that little voice of that little girl. She grabbed that intercom and pressed the button, and with the sternest voice, she said, "Mary, sit down and be quiet." Clara's going to be able to understand this. But that class became silence. There was nothing. There, you would have heard a pin drop in that room at that moment. But then out of the silence, there was a small, still voice from a young lady that said, "Okay, God." Little Mary, she knew there was a God, but she didn't know too much about him. Sometimes I wonder if that isn't where you and I are at. We know this little bit about God, but we really don't know him. Most of us have lots of questions. When it comes to Scripture, we struggle with some of the things, with some of the things that just don't seem to make sense. And sometimes the Holy Spirit never does reveal it to us, to give us the full answer to it until we're ready. Take the numbers that are used throughout Scripture. We understand that the number 7 means perfection. Do we know much more about it than that? How about the number 3? We often think of the number 3 that how that refers to the Godhead, to the triune, to the Trinity. It's another term that's used oftentimes too with that. Many of us accept the concept of the Trinity. Let me explain a little bit about the Trinity. If I were holding an egg in my hand, that egg, you would say, was an egg. Most of you could tell me that there's 3 parts to that egg. There's the shell, the white, and the yolk. 3 separate parts, but all 3 of them together make a whole egg. How about water? Another example here. Water. Water comes in 3 different forms, but yet it's always water. It can be solid, like the ice upon the lake, so that we can say we walked on water. or is it in a steam, in a gas state? Or what about a liquid form? And yet it's still water, isn't it? 3 different forms, but yet water. Another one of those examples that I ran across, I thought was kind of neat also, was a 3-leaf clover. It's got 3 leaves, but all together, it's a clover. What a reminder for us that when we look at the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one. To help us with that, in our text, Jesus tells his disciples there's going to be some things that he wants to tell them. But they're not ready to receive it. They're not ready to understand it yet. So he doesn't give it to them. But he says that when the Holy Spirit comes, when I send the Comforter, he will reveal this stuff to you. He will give you what you need to know. But you know what? We're a lot like those disciples. Don't you think we're a lot like disciples? In that we don't understand everything in Scripture. And sometimes we'd like to understand more. We want to understand it deeper. But we make a mistake. Why? Because we don't study Scripture. We end up and think, oh, if I go to Bible study, if I go to Sunday school, if I go to confirmation, if I go to church, the pastor studies. But we don't have to. We can just it'll just come to us. What do you got? Knowledge or faith? A Sunday school teacher was teaching his young students one Sunday morning. And you know what he was teaching them about was believing in Jesus Christ, that you had to accept Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. Well, he finished his story and his lesson. And then he says to his class, where would you like to go? And in unison, they said, to heaven. And then the teacher said, class, how do we get there? Dead silence. He's beginning to think they missed the point of the lesson. But then one little boy very bravely says, "Teacher, to get to heaven, we have to die." How many times do we get just part of it right? So oftentimes we miss the part that we have to accept and believe in Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. But it's not the dying part. We get things a little misscrewed once in a while because we only understand a part of the whole. All people who acknowledge that they believe in Jesus Christ still have questions. There's nothing wrong with that. God knows that you and I are not able to understand everything that's put before us in Scripture. But what God does with His Spirit is He reveals it to us when we're ready, when we need it. How many times have you been sitting in a Bible study and you've looked at that verse and you've looked at that verse, and all of a sudden you share with the group, and you're probably one of these people that probably never says much, but all of a sudden you have this urge to share something of what that verse is saying to you. I truly believe that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. He's trying to give you that understanding of what it really means, giving you that extra glimpse of truth. If He unloaded His whole load, gave us everything we needed to know, I believe there's really a real good, perfect reason what would happen if He unloaded it all, and all of a sudden, you and I knew as much as God knew, we'd all of a sudden feel we didn't need God anymore. We wouldn't depend on Him because we've all of a sudden know what God knows, and we'd happen to turn against Him much quicker. And the reason I think that is because, you know what? We are arrogant and we are self-centered. Each and every one of us here today is arrogant and self-centered. Is that fun to be looked at and called that? How many fingers are we pointing at ourselves when we call ourselves that? So oftentimes, I think what happens, we want to know so much that we begin to think we know as much as God does because we've got that little bit of knowledge. He'll give only to you what you need. That's it. Nothing more. We begin to think we're in control when we begin to get too much knowledge as we think it. We turn our back on God so fast because we've got the knowledge, we think we know what we're doing. God has given us enough knowledge for us to know that He exists. He puts a desire within each one of us when we're born, when we are conceived. He puts that desire in us that we want to worship a God. And what happens? God gets a hold of some people and they turn to Him. What other people do is they turn to money, to family, to whatever the world offers, drugs, alcohol. They're trying to fill that void that is in their life. But we have to understand that you and I are not saved by knowledge. Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Ephesians 2:8. In other words, we are not saved because we've got biblical knowledge. We're not saved just because God loves us. But God has given us a gift, and in order for us to catch that gift, we must believe. we must accept Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and he can give us the gift of salvation. We are saved because we believe that Jesus Christ has become our personal Savior because we've accepted him. Not because we have knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. There's a difference. We have to move that knowledge 18 inches down. To know that about somebody is to have knowledge about that person, isn't it? And it's so very sad that in our country today, so many churchgoers, they know all about Jesus, but so very few have taken the time to see what it takes to get to know him. They haven't wanted to know him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. 1 John 2, 3. Yeah, if we deny Christ, guess what? We don't know the Father if we deny Christ. And if we don't know God, then there's no way that he's going to let us into his house. We get this so mixed up. How many people claim there's more than one way to heaven? Scripture's very clear. Again, I want to repeat this, that we are not saved by our knowledge, but by pure faith, Hebrews 1:11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. This verse tells you and I that faith is assured of what we have hoped for. There's an assurance of it. And there's an assurance of what we do not see. We are worshiping a God who is a spirit. We're worshiping a God who cares. So the question comes then is, what is it do you really know about God? In truth, I'm going to be honest with this, you know, we, including me, know very little bit about God. We know just enough that he transforms lives, that he sends his Son to live within us, that he gave us a conscience, and that one day we get to spend eternity with him if we serve him here. The next time somebody asks you what you know about God, this is what I want you to tell them. This is all you have to tell them. Tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way that you're ever going to get invited into God's house. And that's all we need to know. There's no argument against that statement. That statement causes any argument not to make sense. And so oftentimes I think we get to the point where we think we just have to have this big lingo. All we have to know is that Jesus Christ is the way to get to heaven. It's not as difficult as we want to make it sometimes. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith gives you the ability to step out of the boat. What did Peter do? He had faith and he stepped out of the boat. What did Peter do wrong? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. Now, Scripture says he began to sink. It doesn't say that he immediately went to the bottom of the lake. We take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to draw away from him. We begin to sink. And what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand and said, "Peter, take my hand." Jesus is reaching out his hand to you today so that you can have the faith to get out of the boat and do what God has called you to do. What's God calling you to do? Faith is seeing the miracles that God has put before us. But how strong is your faith today? Does your faith need to be fortified with evidence right simply before your eyes? Or is your faith as strong as the little girl in the classroom that heard the voice of her teacher and thought it was God? A strong faith does not just believe in God, but rather a strong faith also trusts God. Completely. We can believe that God exists, but unless we trust him with our very lives and our very souls, we're going to be filled with worry instead of faith. Faith trusts God. And that God cares for us, that he loves us, that he watches over us. Worry is stress on steroids. I have a different statement, but I thought it was kind of a neat statement when I came across that worry is stress on steroids. Because where there's knowledge but no trust, there's simply no faith. Nobody has ever been disappointed for having faith. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. There are 17 people of faith that are mentioned in that chapter. They want you to take and look at the faith of these men and women and what they did, what they were called to do. When we look back in history, after Christ ascended back into heaven, for the next several hundred years, you know, when people didn't agree, people were often, Christians especially, were martyred. A lot of people were put to death. Many different forms of capital punishment. But when you look at those stories of Christian men and women, many of them, as they were dying, were smiling and singing hymns unto God. The non-Christians were often stricken with terror. They a lot of times were screaming and wailing. Did not have that peace as death came upon them. Many times I have been with families as a loved one dies. And the loved one has Jesus. It's a peaceful death. When they don't have Jesus, there's great turmoil. As the last breath is coming, they don't want to give it up. And there's an anguish on the face. Faith will get you the answers to your prayers. It's kind of a bold statement, isn't it? Jesus told his disciples to pray. Pray for whatever their needs. And that they would receive it as long as the faith in their heart, that then their prayer would be answered. But they had to have faith. Jesus says in Scripture that the faith the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain. But how many times have you heard people tell you to pray and that you're going to get whatever you want? Well, that's not quite what Jesus was saying in Scripture. We want to read into it, into something that, you know, that if we pray, God's just going to, you know, do the magic wand with us. Well, that isn't how it works. First of all, we need to be living a life for Christ, living for God. You have to understand that God was going to put desires in your heart. And those desires God wants you to begin to pray for as those desires become alive in your hearts. What are those desires? Those desires then are from God, and then they will be answered. Have you had a desire to pray for somebody who has health issues, or have you had a desire to reach out to somebody? Oftentimes, we forget that God puts those desires in our hearts, that we pray. And it's to pray that his kingdom will be enhanced here on earth. But once again, we must have absolute faith. Faith that our prayers will be answered. Is it possible to have that kind of faith? You bet it is. But I think so oftentimes we allow doubt to enter in. In our society today, it seems that we are quicker to believe a lie than we are the truth. We're arrogant against God all the time, it seems like. We tend to believe everything will be okay forever. And whatever I believe, whatever I want, that's the way it's going to be. Everybody else, get out of my way. It's not what God's word says. You're in God's hands, or you're in good hands when you're in God's hands. Most of us worry from time to time. Worry is the agony of thoughts about something that hasn't happened yet, and most likely will not happen. I had a parishioner in North Dakota that used to always tell me, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, but he used to always tell me whenever I preached or mentioned worry in my message, he'd always come and tell me with a twinkle in his eye, he'd say, "Pastor, you do realize that it does a lot of good to worry, don't you? That we should all be worried." And I would always say, "What?" And he would say, "Well, have you ever worried about something and it didn't come true? Worry must work," he would say. He was always such a loving man that loved to tease a little bit, loved to take and you know that he didn't believe that, but that's what he loved to tease about, because he understood the power of God. God's word tells us to fear not. The only way not to worry is to have a strong faith. Remember what I said earlier about a strong faith, that a strong faith is one that truly believes in God, trusts him to handle your life. That's what a strong faith is. The only thing we need to fear in the future is if we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that's something that you and I should fear. When we decide to receive him and live for him, we have salvation. We don't have to wait for it. When we accept him as our personal Savior, we have salvation. That is the gift. There's an old definition of faith that has helped me in times of troubles, and It's something that is really kind of a neat thing. Think of the word faith written in a vertical direction. Okay? F-A-I-T-H. F stands for forsaking. The A stands for all else. The I stands for I. The T stands for take. And the H stands for him. Forsaking all else, I take him. What type of faith do you have today? Do you want to step away from that ungodly life that you're living? We step away from that life, we step immediately into God's arms. Jesus encircles us with his arms. All it takes is faith to believe. And God gives us the faith. A belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Can you accept that? Can you trust him with your life? Today we're going to close the message with the hymn. I forgot the title to it. Except, Just As I Am Without One Plea. If you don't know him today, please come. Please let me pray with you. Please let one of the deacons pray with you. Today, God's calling. Amen. Lord, today, lead us, guide us, direct us. Hold us tight. And Lord, if there is that one or more today that needs to come, Lord, give them the boldness to come to you. Amen. Let's take our hymnal. Turn to him, just as I am, without one plea. Pay attention to the words. Hymn number 417.
Just as I